Let's stand, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Lord and Savior, oh, what a wonderful time, Lord. Another opportunity to gather together. Lord, as you are here amongst us, I pray, Father, that you just look in every heart. Lord, may we not hold a door shut, Father, or push you off. Lord, may we open up, Lord, and allow you to come down. Lord, look into our deepest corners. Father, we short somewhere. Lord, is there something we need understanding of? Lord, that's why we've gathered here tonight, to grow, Lord, and learn how to please you. Bless us now, each and every one that's gathered. Lord, and may your perfect will be done in everything. We thank you now, Lord. We just look to you. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in our capstone books. I'd like to sing. Amen. Page 45. Reach out and touch the Lord. Praise his name.
'Twas a dark and stormy night on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were so fearful of the fury of the sea. Out upon the raging waters walked the blessed Lord of Life. He calmed the troubled waters as he walked by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he moves by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. As he walked the dusty wayside on his way to raise the dead, mighty was the crowd that pressed him, hungry for the living bread. I must touch him, cried a woman. I must touch him or I'll die. She reached out and touched the Lord as he walked by. Reach out, touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he walks by. Yes.
Amen. Reach out and touch him. Hallelujah. He's here to meet our needs. Page 102. Let's see. Jesus, hold my hand.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the seeking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This was
victory is holding your hand, saints. Only through Jesus. Praise his name. Page 34. Let's sing that. Victory ahead. Amen.
When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus. Victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. David with the shepherd slain and five thrones, with the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus. Victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Daniel prayed unto Christ he's made, then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw that victory ahead. Victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus. Victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith and soul, the victory ahead. Often with the carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Oh, trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Blood of Jesus. Victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory.
Amen. You see the victory ahead.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Following the general that's never lost a battle.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Hamilton, would you come? He's everything to me.
Amen.
He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything. Amen.
Praise him.
Oh, he's everything. My mother, my sister, and my brother, he's everything to me.
Amen. Truly he is. I may have something you'd like to take before him. Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads.
Oh, precious Lord Jesus. Truly, that means so much, Father. As we walk this earth, Lord, there's trials and tests and things come up. But Lord, we know, Father, who holds our future. We know who's holding our hand. Lord, and I thank you so much. Lord, we bring these needs and requests before you, knowing that you've already met them. Lord, it's a finished work. So Lord, I pray that each one by faith can reach out. Lord, claim what's theirs. Lord, what you paid the price for. Oh God, and may they testify of your goodness in their lives. Bless us now, Lord. Father, as your word comes tonight, open my heart, Lord. Each and every one I know is the same, Lord. We want to hear from you, Lord, and teach us, Lord. We thank you now. Bless the brother as he comes, Lord. May your will be done in everything. We ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise your name. You may be seated. Amen. Do you have a song tonight here? Ask if you come.
We
stand, if you will.
Sing a little chorus, Only Believes, Ask Her Brother to Come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
So thankful to be gathered here this evening, and Lord, we appreciate what you've done for us, Lord, and where you brought us from. And Lord, we just humbly ask as we renew our minds to these precious words of life that you've left for us, that Lord, it would be of a help and a strength, and Lord, and help us to continue to walk pleasing unto you. And Lord, just to stay in a place, Lord, with you, that we would just be so surrendered, Lord, that you could use us in any way. And Father, continue to mold us, Lord, and let our character be molded to Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless your word, bless our hearts to the hearing, and just have your way in the remainder of this service, we ask. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. So thankful for another opportunity to come in and just to renew our minds, and tonight maybe that's what it'll seem like, just renewing our minds to some scriptures and things, but just praying God will add the blessing to his word. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to 1 Samuel in the 16th chapter. It says praying and asking the Lord what to bring, and you just, a few things come up in my heart and a quote something the prophet had said, and you're just kind of thinking about it, and you see all the scriptures, and I thought, well, Lord, we'll just take it one step at a time and see, it's his word. If we only read what he said, it'll be inspired. Yes, amen. And God will bless it to our hearts. Amen. It's so good to know that God didn't leave us here. When you see God's word laying before us, and you see his great plan rolled out, and how thankful we ought to be that God sent a prophet in this age to open up our eyes, that the understanding of the word that we have today is not of our own, but it was by grace that God revealed it to us through revelation and spoke those things, that we would have the greater understanding that we have today and to be able to live in the manner in which we do. But here in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and we'll just start at the first verse just to catch what was happening here. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peacefully? And he said, Peaceably. And I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, I believe is how you say it. And he said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. What a example that this was, and the prophet referenced this many times in his ministry as he was speaking, and how that the children of Israel, in wanting a king, they looked to Saul because I believe Brother Branham said he was a head and shoulders taller than most of the Israelites at that time. And
He was a man of great stature, and my, he looked good. It's fitting to be king, you know, and that's what they, how they chose their king was by what they could see. And so when this came to Samuel at this time for this to take place, and Samuel was looking at this strong, you know, here's one of Jesse's sons, strong and able, and boy, you know, in the natural, he's like, this would make a good leader. This would be the person, you know, but that wasn't what God was looking at. And oftentimes, it's human nature for us to do the same in our approach of how we perceive things and how we look at things. But it's always good to just remember how God looks at things. Amen. And, you know, and to keep that in mind to ourselves, and as the sister sang the song, you know, how fitting to think about as we read some of these scriptures. But how we want to make sure that everything we do it the way God would do it. Yes. We don't want to get into... It's so easy, as I said, we're human beings. We're put on this earth and we're raised and we come through all of the human ways of doing things. And we're taught through schools and works and jobs. And it's so easy to, if we're not careful, to get out underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and we slide back into our natural thinking. And oftentimes in our natural thinking, we're not in line when the Holy Spirit's trying to lead us or to guide us. And so... how it we need to see that continual leading and presence of the Lord in our life and every day as we travel and journey. Because we don't know. We don't know. You know, we may look out here and see someone and think, boy, I'd really like to save that person, you know. But it's God's choosing. And that's what we must always remember. It, you know, and we're going to read some things here, but just how it's all in God's great plan. And, you know, in the many times past, we can look back down through history and see different times and places and people being inspired and going out and trying to save everyone, you know. They thought it was the right thing to do, but they just were going about it a wrong direction. And how we must be careful, we can also do the same thing. We got to make sure we find the mind and the leading of the Lord in everything we do. And the more, you know, I've been reading and studying and trying to do God a service without His will. And as you just see those things magnified of making sure that we don't get out of step and we stay in line and stay right where God wants us to be. Amen. But if you would, let's turn over to Romans, the 9th chapter, and read this, Paul speaking. And these are all very familiar, but just felt led to renew our hearts to them and to just to... Romans, the 9th chapter. And how precious to, as you think about Paul feeling the need to pen these things and to make sure they were written down. Mm-hmm. And then when God sent a prophet in this age to bring it back and point it right back into the scriptures and to show us where we're standing and why we can stand where we stand today. Mm-hmm. But here in Romans 9, 11th verse, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Amen. And you know, as we look back in the scriptures, how many examples we are given. When you see, even Isaiah said when Jesus, there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. Yeah. And God's prophet broke that down, showing that had he come in the way they wanted him to come, oh, they would have gladly accepted him. They would have run to him and just flocked to it all around him. But he didn't come to their ways of thinking. And he come the way God said he was going to come, exactly. And so as we see that take place, and then he comes on the scene, and then we see him go about calling his disciples. Men that at the people at that time, their approach and who they thought would have been religious, that wasn't the people he was calling to. That wasn't the crowd that, you know, as he walked up to Peter out there, you know, Peter probably looked a real mess out there in that old boat fishing. And, you know, hair all a mess. I'm sure he was, you know, it's a tough job and a stinky job growing in them old nets. But Jesus said, come, follow me. Yes. You know, and if you look at the different, all the different characters that he called. And then we can even look back through the Bible at all the different places. Look at the Apostle Paul, as I used him for an example the other day when I was talking to someone. I said, who would have ever looked at Apostle Paul and said, this can be God's man. This will be the prophet to the age. This will be the one God's going to deal with and work with. In our human thinking and the human side of it, that's what people see and that's how we perceive things. But the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit told Ananias, he said, go down there and pray for Brother Paul. Amen. You can see in himself, oh my, but under the leading of the Holy Spirit, he didn't, he let it faze him. He went and did the bidding of the Lord. And how each of us, as we come to that place, how it should truly become greater in our hearts and in our lives. As Lord, take the blinders off of our eyes as the way we perceive things and see things as human beings.
Yes.
Because we must remember where each of us came from, what we were as individuals, mm-hmm. and where God has brought us from.
Yes.
And oh my, you know, there's many a times I'm sure people looked and said, oh, Brother Timothy's going to be one of these that's going to be called of God to be chosen. You know, people might have said some, oh, I don't think that could ever be. But God thought differently, and he thought that of each of us.
Amen.
You know, at different times, you know, we've all come from different places and different walks of life and our personalities and the way we may have been. But God has a way of just taking a person and totally re-stripping them down and molding them to who he wants them to be.
Yes.
And by God's grace, it's a work he does.
Amen.
Amen. If you would, let's turn over here to Ephesians and read here as Paul put it here. And I know we read this often, but just let it, as we always say, it's got to be personal. But if you just let Paul, as Paul is putting these things in here, just let the Holy Spirit renew this to your heart. And we'll just start at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Oh my! That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And remember what Paul, as he used, was Jacob and Esau before they'd done any works. And the prophet truly expounded on that. Before any of them had a chance to think anything, before they, in the natural, before they could do anything, God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And you know what the prophet taught on predestination and how by his foreknowledge. But oh my, I think, let it just run deep. And he says, good pleasure of his will to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, and whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins,
yes.
according to the riches of his grace. And oh my, truly as we can see where we were and what we needed, a Savior, we needed a Redeemer, we needed that precious blood,
yes.
while we were here to cover our sins. And oh my, we want to be identified with our sacrifice and the reality as we see that take place.
Yes.
In the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Yes.
And just notice that nowhere in here do we got anything. It's all him.
Yeah.
This is his plan.
Yes.
Oh, and he has put it in motion. In his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Amen. Look at this. Even though he knew these things, look what Paul's still prayer was, that he would give us the wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all the things to the church, yes, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you know, so many people have read this scripture, and then they lift themselves up to a place, I was always a son of God. And they get to where they've lost sight of where they're standing and why they do stand where they stand. And how cautious we must be to make sure we don't let that to happen. As Paul goes on here, and he was reminding, after all that he said, he made sure to put in, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. As our pastor was speaking here Sunday on that desire, look at the desire he placed before we, by his grace, he placed that in there. The desire to hunger and to thirst. And all at the time, he came looking for you. He came looking for me and began to draw us. And as you'll turn over to John 6 and 37, amen. Very familiar scripture, but just don't forget. It's just don't ever forget. Amen. I'm sorry, I went too far. John 6, 37. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh my, all the Father has given me, they will come. Yes. They'll come right to me. When it's time, God will lead the path, and they're going to come. He gives us the desire. He does the drawing. He's pulled each one of us to where we're standing tonight. And you know, if when you look in the natural, you know, some people, they're satisfied. I got to church. I'm born again. That's all there is to it. I'm going to sit here and just go on. I'm saved. Don't nothing to it. But you know, in the natural, as we grow and we age, you know, as I was just thinking, and myself looking as I was driving today, you know, Clayton's about 22, I'm 45, and Brother Steve's probably about 65, I'm guessing. So about 20 years between us, and I was just kind of trying to think of the age group. And you know, Clayton's a young man, and in his mind, he's a grown man. You know, he can make his own decisions, and he thinks what he, you know, how he's going to do things. And he's got a lot of wisdom that's been allotted for the age that he is. So you take me, I'm 20 years older. Now I've lived a little longer and had a little more experiences, a little more character, a little more suffering building to get to where I may be standing. And so I might look and say, he's still got some wisdom to get, you know. He's coming on up. He's doing good. He's good. Now, Brother Steve can look down, and he's 20 years older than I am. He goes, Brother Tim still got some gum to get to where I am. Because we're all growing. And as God gives each of us a revelation spiritually, we're all going to grow in Christ. But we might, some be young, some may be middle-aged, and some may be well-aged. But nevertheless, we're all growing in accordance with what God is giving to us. And the problem is, somebody's older than Brother Steve, and they're saying, you still got a few years to get to where I am. So there's never a place of stalemate or a place to come to where now I have it all. You know, there's a continually growing and a continued hunger and a continued drawing. Come up a little bit higher. Come on up here and let me show you. And I was just using a natural as a type to, so we can see that. We each see that as we've grown and grown older, we can look back where we come from and say, boy, if I'd only know then what I know now. But how that is in the Christ as we grow. Christ learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And God allows us. The test comes. Sometimes we fail. But he doesn't just leave it there. He picks us back up. He fortifies us with the word. And it won't be long and the test will come around again. He gives us a chance to be an overcomer. And pretty soon, those stepping stones are all just laying behind us. And we're still growing. Does that mean the tests are all passed? Nope. There'll still be another one tomorrow. And it'll continue and continue as we continue to grow in Christ. Each and every one of us coming up that ladder, growing into what he wants us to be. And so once you've realized that he's drawn you and he's called you and he's placed this desire in our hearts, and we see that we've been called to this glorious gospel, turn over to Romans 12 with me and let's read what Paul said. And you know, sometimes it's easy to, we might look at someone else and say, boy, I can't believe they failed that test. And maybe, but your test that you failed, they've already passed. And so sometimes we forget, as we're growing and where we're at in God, to make sure that we have understanding and grace to give, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into. As Brother Branham said in the letter to the church, you see a brother, you see a sister, you think he's a little wrong. He didn't say condemn him, don't criticize him, talk. No, he said pray for him, brother. Yes, pray for yourself that you be lifted up. Amen. Yes. Grow together. Hallelujah. Amen. And oh my, it's no big eyes, little U's. We're growing to the glory of Jesus Christ. But Paul here in Romans, the 12th chapter, as he says, the first verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. And for so we being many are one in body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and given to hospitality. There's a whole stack right here if you just listen to these things. And to for us to, oh, can I truly go through every one of those and go, yes, it's all right there. It's what we got to do. Continue to measure up, and it may be. But are we growing? This is that portion that is taking our life over, giving our bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen. Bless them which persecute you, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Yes. And oh my, you know, you can take that scripture there. Some people have in the past, they've read that, well, I'll feed him because I'm heaping coals on his head. That's the wrong attitude. But you know, the Holy Spirit will bring it to that place to where it's, Lord, bless them. Here they be. As our brother mentioned, he was mentioning that a little bit in service Sunday, I believe. I think it was this past Sunday. But amen. But how true these scriptures become a reality to us. And how it becomes part of us. And as we each one are given our place and we're showing and God is doing his work and bringing us each one and praying for those around us that God would somehow be merciful and bring someone else to the reality. Amen. And you know, the churches are filled up and there's people in them, all good people, people that want to do right, people that want to be right. And maybe they're caught in a situation. Maybe, you know, you might be, it could just be a rank sinner, or it could be someone that's caught up in a denominational doctrine or something that's got them bound down to where that's all they can see for the time being. But oh my, if we're in the Spirit and given the right place at the right time, yes. Oh, look what God can do. But you got to realize the time and place we're in as well. It's not going to be a worldwide revival. You're not going to save everyone. You're not going to get them in by the masses. But oh my, but we're looking for that last final call of Jesus Christ before that great catching away. And oh my, he said he wouldn't lose none of his. All that the Father give him, they'll come. They're going to be there. But Brother Branham said this in the message, Abraham's Grace Covenant. This was preached March 1761. But I just like how the prophet put it here. And just as he's expressing himself a little bit, he says, this paragraph 60, he said, God chooses by election. Romans, the 9th chapter, 8th chapter, he said, the election of God might stand sure, Esau, Jacob, before either child was born, had a way to make a decision what they were going to do. God said, I hate Esau and love Jacob, because God knew what they were before the world was ever formed. And God chose you in Christ before the world ever come into existence. The Bible said so. Put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Not when you come to the altar, but before the foundation of the world, he did that. And then by his grace, he brought us to the realization and the understanding of what he done for us. Amen. And oh my, when you begin to see the reality, the true reality of that little circle and those thoughts of God are eternal. Oh my, look what God has done to bring the understanding of the words of the scripture to life for you and I. And you know what? He may do it for someone else. Amen. To a reality that is as he's going to speak on here. He says, the Antichrist in the last days, so religious, even Pentecostal, till it would deceive the very elected if it were possible. Billy Graham said the other night in his message, he said, the devil was so roaring about till he's absolutely deceived the elected. And I thought, oh, Billy, you've made a mistake. You can't deceive the elected because they're secure with Christ. The Bible said that this Antichrist would be so close that it would deceive the elected if it was possible. And that's what he would do in the last days. He would be so close now that he would do that. And he would deceive all up on the earth. Revelations, I'm quoting, you've got to remember this was before the seals as well. I'm quoting, whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. That's Abraham's seed. God choosing, not yours. God chose you. You never chose God. God chose you and put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Just think of that. God's grace. Two lumps of clay. And he picked this one up and said, I'm going to mold this one to my character. Yes. I'm going to place a little something special in this one. Only grace, nothing you've ever done or I've ever done to deserve that. Mm-hmm. And then by God's grace, he's revealed to us that it was his choosing, that I chose you before there was a moon or a star. He said he chose you and put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the Lamb was slain 2,000 years ago on Calvary, not in God's sight, he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when God saw that, what Satan had done, his program was laid out, and he knew that he would send his son, and he would be a population. Appropriation for our sins. In the mind of Jehovah to conquer his people, he slayed the Lamb in his own mind before the foundation of the world and put your name on the book as redeemed. That's what he got done. God did it. Then what are we scared about, he said. And I want you to think about this now as he breaks this down just a little bit. He says, then you say divine healing. Brother Branham, will God heal me? You're Abraham's seed. He has healed you. Amen. Will you lay your hands on me the way Brother Robert does? That don't have nothing to do with it. Just a point of contact. Once that man's own sermon said, put your hand upon the back of the seat behind you. Now the seat ain't got no healing in it, see? It's your faith in a finished work that you're already redeemed. He was wounded for our transgression, and with his stripes we are healed. Brother Branham, will I get healed tonight? You're already healed. God sent his Holy Spirit. He sent you pastors, and they preach the word. You listen, and he sends gifts of tongues, interpretation, sends prophet and prophetic gifts, and everything trying to draw you to the place that the pastor can heal you. The speaking in tongues doesn't heal you. The interpretation doesn't heal you. The prophet doesn't heal you. The other gifts don't heal you. It only points you. And if it's a true gift, it only points you to where you were healed. Amen. I want you to think about that so much. Oh my, if we would only point back. We get them to church, but do we get them to Christ? Amen. Think it's so precious when you see in the choosing of a bride, the prophet said some wonderful things. I didn't bring them with me, though. He says, all the Father has given me will come to me. That's right. I'm sorry, I missed it. He says, we're healed. It only points you to where you were healed, for you're the seed of Abraham. You were already healed and saved. And that's why the Holy Spirit's knocking at your heart. All the Father has given me will come to me. That's right. And that's why we preach the gospel. That's why I put forth these efforts. And that's what these other ministers put forth their efforts, is to trying to swing out that big net and draw it in and see what it is. What? I don't know. Other ministers don't know. We're just saying. And I like how he puts it here. He says, the kingdom of God is like a fisherman. He went to the net, took a net, and went to the sea, and he cast it in. And when he pulled it in, he had frogs, turtles, serpents, spiders, fish. Watch what happened. The influence of the gospel catches many. And just about the first week after, the old serpent said, now look, I'm going to have to do all this other stuff and give up my cards, my tobacco, right back to the water he goes. And Miss Water Spider sits there and she looks around and she says, you mean I can't have my clubs and do these things here, and I have to take off my makeup and let my hair grow out and take off my shorts? Uh-huh, plop, plop, just a hog to his wallow and a dog to its vomit. Now what was she? She was caught in the net, brought up to the altar. He was too, but he was a snake to begin with, as a spider to begin with. The net had nothing to do with it. It only pulled him up here. And the fish was a fish to start with. See, exactly right. My sheep hear my voice, see? And oh, some of them are smart and educated and shrewd as they can be. That has nothing to do with it. It's humility and the Holy Spirit guiding and leading, and he will never lead you one word from that Bible. He will keep you right in line with that Bible. Yes, sir, right with the Bible. Amen. And how we truly have seen the work of the Holy Spirit. Truly as that nets went out, look at all of the attention it's gathered. And you can each one think of maybe different places in your life where you've been and where you've come from. Brothers and sisters, you thought maybe they came in and were part of you, they sat with you, and then all of a sudden they weren't there no more. But a fish is a fish to begin with. And by God's grace, if you're still holding on and there's something still holding you and drawing you and pulling you, how thankful we ought to be. And as Paul said, how that ought to make us in all humility not think higher of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think soberly. Yes. As God has dealt to me a measure of faith, to you a measure of faith that holds us steadfast and secure. Yes. And oh my, as he was explaining there, how we should truly Can I be healed tonight? Absolutely, you already were. But you just need to recognize that it was for you. Yeah. And if you cry out and say, Lord, show me, grant me the inspiration for whatever I have need of. And it could be anything. It may not even be, it could be financial, it can be whatever. But it's already taken care of for. Every redemptive blessing has been provided for that little bride. Amen. But oh my, sometimes we don't show God we're seriously interested in what he has for us. We still want to do it in ourselves. We wanted, I can figure this out. I can handle that. I can do this. But oh, if we would but surrender and say, Lord, it's all yours. Amen. Amen. Show me, Lord. Give me an answer. Show me where this is for me. Where am I at right here? Let the inspiration strike my heart with the reality. Not somebody patting me on the back and said, you're healed. No, that won't work. We've seen it happen. But oh, let the Holy Spirit come down in there and realize the stripes that he bore was for my healing and for the healing that I need tonight or today, whatever it may be. He'll dip it in a heart. You watch it come to pass. And watch it. And where was it? Was it pointed back to the pastor? Was it pointed back to your church? Was it pointed to brother so-and-so? No, it was pointed right back to Jesus Christ, amen, the giver of all the good gifts we receive. Yes. Amen. Amen. He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. Yes, amen. You see so much in this day of you know, some men getting puffed up in themselves and people doing it. You know, we see the examples that was left us in the scriptures in the book of Acts, where the people rose up and said, he spake as Herod, said he spake as a God. And he didn't give God the credit. He didn't close them down and look what happened. And oh my, how careful we should be to make sure that we don't let anybody or any time and place take the credit of what Jesus Christ has done for me and done for you in our lives. That we make sure we give him the glory. We give him the praise and the honor. That oh my, he can do miracles in your life. He will bring you where you need to be. He will lead you. He will guide you and bring you into all truths. Amen. And he will give the increase in our lives. But oh, may we be ever mindful, and may we truly be a people that's praying one for another, praying for those that maybe we see struggling, that if there be something, Lord, can you reach out in some special way and show them, Lord, that there is a way that truly leads to peace and a true life being led with Jesus Christ. Amen. A few simple words, but praying that it'll mean something to you this evening. And you know, and maybe it means more to us. We read it often. And like I said, there's things that I'm saved by grace. Maybe we say it often, but let's make it a reality to us that, Lord, I truly realize where I would be if you lifted your hand off my life. Amen. You see so much, you know, you go through life and you see so many people with afflictions and disease and problems. And you just, tomorrow it could be me. I'm not exempt from that happening or having some catastrophe in our life. You're not exempt. But you know, and you see people with good attitudes that are suffering mightily and go through. But oh my, how thankful we ought to be that grace has given us what we have. And if we have health in our bodies and we can breathe and we can walk and do, how thankful we ought to be. Yes. Maybe I can't do what I used to do. Maybe I'm not as strong as I once was. But thank God that I still have the ability to do what he's given me to do today. And never take for granted one moment what he's doing in our lives. Amen. And to always realize, Lord, I'm reaching out to you. And oh, Lord, I know there's higher heights, there's higher ground. Don't let me be satisfied, Lord. Don't let me become stale and think I've got it all and I'm content and I can give up what I have to some. But let me keep pressing. And as you press into me, it'll press to others and show forth your life that would bring them to make it together as a whole. We would grow in Christ. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Hallelujah. We ain't sang it in a while. I'd like to sing that little chorus. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just so amazing what God has done for us, saints. When you read the things the prophet brought, and as God has enlightened our understanding and we're growing, God has given us ministry, and how thankful we ought to be to a ministry that causes us to grow. Not a ministry just to pat our ears, but that's why he gave the fivefold ministry, was to edify the body of Christ, to bring us to the stature, the fullness of Christ. not just to come partial, not just to let us be happy with being, oh, you've reached this stage, but the ministry was to bring us to the fullness and to maturity. And oh my, how thankful we ought to be if the word that we hear, as it comes through forth underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's clear, pure, and fresh, and it is causing the growth in our life that we see that continues to cause us to grow. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. And let's sing that little chorus. Amen. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, I'm reaching out. And you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Amen. May God bless you.
So wonderful. Trust those that's listening in too will get a blessing from that also. Just so wonderful. You know, I think a lot, you know, especially with the things our brother brought tonight, and then even as the sister sang her song and humility. I'll tell you what, I think many, many times through the day about God's amazing grace. You know, like I told you before, you know, if the Lord would take me before you, or before the rapture, make sure at the funeral you sing Amazing Grace and sing it with all your heart, because that has been the theme of my life. Seeing by grace His amazing grace. You know, because where would I be without Him? How would I have been able to understand any word if it wouldn't have been for what God revealed? How could I have got revelation on myself? See, how could I surrender my life? I couldn't without Him. How could I be good to somebody and show Christ or express Christ without Him? I couldn't. So it's all about amazing grace. His grace that has chosen us, election, just as Paul put it, by grace ye are saved. Amen. And I believe when a person really begins to understand that, really begins to see that with a reality, I believe it makes it a lot easier to serve God, you know, and it's a lot easier to stay in your place. So we appreciate God and appreciate what He's done for us, and may we all continue to grow in His grace. Amen. Want to do that? I'm sure we all do want to do that. Praise God. So thankful for the word tonight. Let us bow. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank You for Your amazing grace, Your love that You have for us, Lord. We don't, sometimes we can't fully understand it, Lord. I'm sure we can. To think, why did You love me? You know, we understand, Lord, through election and these different revelations that You've given through Your word. But still being human, Lord, we just wonder why. Why did You choose me? Why did You choose those that's standing here with me tonight, or maybe those that's listening in? Why did You choose us, Lord? I know one thing, Father, it surely makes us love You and appreciate You more and more. Especially as each day goes on, and we see things going on. This world, the condition it's getting in. And Father, even as we grow older, we begin to see your amazing grace even greater. Because there's more things in our life as we get older, Father. We see that if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to hold on. Father, we're so thankful for it now. We pray, Lord, that you just put a grace, I guess, a revelation, a greater revelation. Pray that you just go with us and bless each one as we part from this little place. And Lord, we realize it's by grace we're gathered with people tonight that, Lord, it's people who we're going to spend eternity with. Won't that just be so wonderful, Lord? Oh, God, we just love you with all our heart. Forgive us if we haven't expressed our love to you. Lord, if we've disobeyed you in anything, please forgive us. And Father, we're so appreciative. Paul said, give thanks for all things. And we want to do that, Lord, and do it from our heart. And I believe, Father, if you place that experience in our heart, we'll be able to do it from the depths of our heart. So bless us now. Keep your hand upon us. And bring us back to the next appointed time if you should tarry. Again, Father, that through the way of worship and praise, we can glorify your name. And, Father, receive your word to continue to climb and continue to grow. We thank you now for all these things. And through the lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Can we sing that before we leave?